broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com. I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Cause I wanna get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, and Nick Mason.
Three best friends.
Right.
Three amigos.
Yeah.
All
right.
Three flying mice.
Hey. Hey.
Three
stooges. I don't want to be associated.
I want to get one.
There's another one out there.
Move past it.
I can't get it.
Let's
all
move
right.
past it. Let's put it behind us, guys.
Wake up and get ready to go through Rush.
You can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
Welcome back into the show. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Still got a lot to get to. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Mainly just talking about Arkansas. Bouncing out early to Butler in the NCAA tournament. That's kind of been the only and biggest topic that we could really discuss during this entire show thus far, because disappointment doesn't even begin to cover it. And who knows what the future holds for Arkansas and Mike Anderson going into this next season. But we're going to talk with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette around 7:45. Talk to him about that. And we will get into some baseball talk, too, because I know a lot of people were tweeting at me last night, at least, saying that surely you'll talk about the baseball team. We don't want to talk about the basketball team because it'll just make us mad. But the baseball team, that's what we want to talk about, because they absolutely destroyed one of the top five teams in the country. So, but we will talk about that. Don't worry. But I did want to spend this segment, since everybody who's listening in case you haven't heard, which I'm sure you should have heard because it was talked about all last week, and also
you'd be surprised.
Together. Well, that's true. That's true. And in case you're just tuning in, this is the first time you're tuning into the Morning Rush. Here in the past week, I'm the new host of this show, alongside Tommy and Nick. And it's been kind of a transitional phase, and I know that we're all going to have these little growing pains until we get everything figured out. But I'm enjoying it, and it's something that I've been looking forward to doing, getting back on the airwaves for a long time now, and I'm very appreciative for the opportunity. But just to give you a little background of where I've been at, I used to have a show up in Northwest Arkansas. It's really where I got my radio start. I was started off as a board op, then I became a producer at one station. Then I was actually hired by Nick Mason at the stations that we used to work at up in Northwest Arkansas.
I didn't tell
this
you
don't
about
work
that.
Out. You're responsible.
No, Twitter's responsible this time.
Yeah, but it's amazing how things come full circle. Then after doing a show for a while, went down to Little Rock, worked for a different radio station. Wasn't on the air though, but did work for another station doing some promotions, and then I'm back here with Nick Mason. For some reason, I can't get away from Nick. I don't know what it is. It's just funny how this business works out, where it's like a boomerang. I end up, if Nick Mason's around, I'm going to be expecting him to get a phone call or a text message saying, "Hey, man, I need you back," or I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that for me and all that. But no, this is great, and I'm hoping, and I've been really appreciative of everyone reaching out and the support and the encouragement that everyone's given me too. But this is awesome. I love doing radio. I love talking sports, especially Razorback sports. The mornings, you know, that's going to take that's going to take a little bit to get used to. But you know, that's what was nice about having that little soft opening, if you want to call it, the past 2 weeks. At least I've been able to get used to it and seeing how the flow of things go.
You think that was by accident?
Well, exactly.
Well, and then you're going to have to adjust twice, because you can ask Kraft and you can definitely ask me. As soon as you get adjusted, what's going to happen is, you're going to your love life. Somebody's going to come in. They're going to start staying with you. And at that point, whenever they have to go through the adjustment, you're going through it again. So good luck in that regard. And I will say this, before you get married or engaged or any of that, you just need to let your future spouse know that, hey, listen, I got to get up at about 3:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning to go do this radio show. So you have to be all in with me if you want to be part of this.
I don't have a significant other, but I do have a dog. My dog's been pretty pissed at me, the fact that I've been having to wake him up that early in the morning to take him outside to make sure he does his business. But that's the thing, is it works out, because like you said, when you're single, like I am,
It's nice to where you're on your own schedule. No one else has to get used to it. It's just you yourself have to get used to it. I just may have to turn into a coffee person. I've never been a big coffee person, but I may have to go down that route.
Well, Ruskin wasn't a big coffee person. Kraft, I don't know if I've ever seen you even drink coffee. Even last week, whenever you were up early when we were in Branson, I thought you were making a cup of coffee. And I was like, man, yeah, Kraft got up. He's making a cup of coffee. I don't know what all that banging was in there, but it wasn't Kraft making any coffee. That's for
Looking
sure.
Looking for a beer. I couldn't find one.
Looking for some type of mixer. But no, this has been, I know that the Morning Rush has been around for a very long time. And it's been a very successful show, and it's gotten to the point where it's at. And I'm privileged to be a part of it and to try to build upon it. And, you know, it's fun because when I was used to doing a show where it was just me, which that wasn't necessarily the preference, believe me. That was not the preference. But to be able to come into a show like this that's been established and has a good experience and a lot of potential and upside and stuff, it makes it a lot easier for the transition to go that too. And also living in Fort Smith, because, see, I've been a Fayetteville guy my entire life. I moved to Little Rock for 6 months, and here I am living in Fort Smith. Mm-hmm. So it's that's also been a transition too. Because, I mean, you talk about somebody who I never thought I'd ever leave Fayetteville. Like, that's how I was born in Dallas. I lived there for about a year and a half and then moved to Fayetteville, lived there ever since. I mean, goodness, 26 years it seemed like. I would have never guessed. I'd be like, if I've been here for 26 years, there's no point in moving anywhere else. And then, but it's just funny how this business goes and how the job can take you to different spots and all that. And I got to also be honest, I've never really spent much time in Fort Smith, but now that I've finally gotten to experience it a little bit and start to actually know where I'm at in life and not being able to know where everything's at, that's been good too. So the transition's been going really well is my point. And I'm hoping that I can continue to bring as much awesome sports talk as this show's already at.
Hopefully for Tommy's sanity, there won't be another transition for another 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
If there is, the next transition will be me transitioning.
Going into retirement.
Yeah. No, we're glad you're here. And like you said, and perfectly so, it's going to be different. There's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. We kind of get everything ironed out these first few weeks of the show. Just hang with us, and we'll be back to our normal nonsense and shenanigans that we always have here on the show. But the main thing is we're going to be telling it like it is, like we always have. So
my question is, whose decision was it to give Nick an entire segment to himself?
Nick's decision.
Nick's.
Yeah. In fact, he demanded it. That was part of his agent demanded it. Actually.
Oh, I see. I see. So does that mean since it's called Three in the Lane, does that mean it's always going to be basketball?
No, it's not always basketball.
But, okay, so it's just fitting because you're a basketball guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It started out as the idea that we were going to do this basketball segment every day during football season because football season was going to be so exciting in this past year. But how could we shoehorn in some basketball talk every day? So we said, all right, it's 6:50 every day. Nick's going to come in here with a segment about basketball and keep us up to date on basketball. And it's just kind of, it's lived a life of its own.
If there's somebody that can shoehorn basketball talk into a show, it is Nick Mason.
Well, and then for those out there that are close to me, they know I take my ADD medicine maybe 1 out of 30 days in the month. So normally we end up
veering. He just can't remember. He can't stay focused long enough to take the ADD medicine.
Meaning then I can't stay focused long enough to only talk about basketball. And so,
and if that doesn't make you want to stop and pray for me right now, I don't know whatever will.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that you do talk basketball because, I like basketball. I like talking about basketball. But when it comes to the actual setup and deep thought of basketball, I got nothing for you. Football's my sport. I do enjoy baseball, but if I had to put it in order of like the sports that I'm all about, it's football, basketball, baseball.
I enjoy winning, and this is getting,
I'm with you on that,
kind of on another topic, but that's why everybody is so upset right now. I enjoy winning, and I enjoy winning at sports, and this is what Tommy brought up earlier. I enjoy winning at sports that everybody else thinks that matters the most.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there aren't the teams or the schools that think baseball matters the most are the top 10, 15 schools year in and year out that are really good in baseball. Everybody else just kind of throws their hands up. It doesn't matter if you are number one in the country or number 365 in the country whenever it comes to basketball or football. I mean, football programs are out there. everybody wants to be good in those sports. So, yes, I do enjoy baseball. I do enjoy, but I enjoy winning first and foremost. And that's why we're probably going to talk a lot of baseball starting from here on out into the summer.
Mm. And we'll have plenty of football talk too. At least with spring football going on and the spring game, which has gotten moved back, going to be in Little Rock. It's going to be a whole new element to that where we'll see how it plays out with Chad Morris and all that good stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting this spring, especially, and with the baseball team doing as well as they do. But I, when you say that you enjoy winning, that's kind of goes back if we're talking about Arkansas specifically. That's like, to me, it's always going to be a football school because anybody can say whatever they want. But Arkansas winning a football national championship will always mean more and always be a bigger deal than if they won a basketball national championship.
And I'm so disappointed in the first round exit, I'll just agree with you. I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and you know, and say that you're right about that.
That's really.
That's how. And
you agree with me on something.
I've been really big on it being because it's transitioning into a basketball state whenever you're talking about high school. And then, of course, now in college. But I don't know what the identity of the Razorbacks will be moving forward. And we're at a time in athletics for the Arkansas Razorbacks that there's not just one true identity. So moving forward, it's going to be whichever one of these coaches can win a lot and win a lot quick, then I think that that's going to be the program that's pushed towards the front. And everybody's going to call themselves a basketball school of Mike Anderson wins big or a football school of Chad Morris does.
Well, especially with the culture kind of taking a shift too, because if we're talking about Arkansas here, Jeff Long no longer being the athletic director, you insert Hunter Yurecek, you insert a new football coach. It seems like there's a lot of different elements going on where they're trying to switch it up a little bit, make it a little more back to the way it was when Frank Broyles was athletic director doing stuff with the state too. So yeah, it's a very fun and entertaining, but also a little bit of a, I don't know, a weird time for Arkansas athletics, at least during this point in time, just because of all the things that are going on. But it's an exciting thing, and it'll be an exciting for the Razorback football season and where everything is going on. So appreciate, of course, everybody, again, for the support and for Tommy and Nick for allowing me to come on this show and do our thing. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, and we're going to make sure that we do it that way. And this show is brought to you in part by Sassy's.
Yeah, Sassy's Red House in Fayetteville, 708 North College, also off Steamboat Drive there, just off the Weddington exit. If you're looking for a place in Fayetteville to watch the games when Thursday rolls back around, headed into another great weekend of college basketball, Sassy's is the place. I always say when you're trying to determine where you want to go watch sports, you got to look at the appetizer part of the menu. Because
Absolutely.
You're going to be there, you know, not just an hour or two. You're going to be there 3, 4, 5 hours a lot of time. So it's really all about the appetizers, and they got it from their buffalo quesadillas to the barbecue quesadillas. You got to have good homemade salsa, cheese dip, those kind of things. They got those. They got the rib. You would expect good barbecue appetizers. They got those with the sausage and cheese plate, the rib appetizer, the Tex-Mex nachos. They're all there at Sassy's, and of course, you know, I'm not one to not call a rack of ribs an appetizer. You can just, you know,
yeah.
you just need to bear down on some ribs. You can do that too. The smoked tacos, they got them all at Sassy's. Either location, great to watch the games on College in Fayetteville, the original location, and the new location just off the Weddington exit in Fayetteville for Sassy's Red House. Perfect for the games at Sassy's in Fayetteville.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush, brought to you by... The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. This is the Morning Rush. This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the show as we are continuing on this Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV. And, again, we'll be joined by Tom Murphy on the other side of Arkansas Democrat Gazette, talking Arkansas basketball as well as Arkansas baseball and the great series that they had against one of the best teams in the country. So we'll talk about that as well as we'll continue it on. With the NCAA tournament going on, though, I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention just how absolutely insane this NCAA tournament has been compared to other seasons. Because let's be honest, it's called March of Madness for a reason. Because it's madness. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going on. You don't know really what teams are going to do what at any given time. And really, the only guarantee that we have ever had when watching the NCAA tournament was knowing that the 16 seeds had zero chance of beating a one seed in 132 straight matchups. A 16 seed would never beat a one seed until this year. It finally happened.
And not just a one seed.
The
overall number one seed.
The one seed.
A team that had to play a play-in game to get to the right to play the overall one seed, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, if you said, well, this is going to be the year it happened, we'd have picked, Penn over Kansas. You would have picked probably any, this would, if you'd have put them in order, of all of the one seeds most likely to lose, you'd have said Virginia's the least likely one seed to be upset. Over who?
UMBC.
UM what? Which now I guess stands for You Must Be Cinderella, because,
ooh,
you know, who are these guys? A school none of us had ever heard of, right? Ever.
The University of Maryland at Baltimore County.
Right.
You have the name County in your school name.
No. You ever heard of a college with the name County? No.
And they beat Virginia. Here's another thing, too. Not only beat them, destroy them. Absolutely destroy Virginia. And
they didn't play in a playing game, did they? No, they didn't.
No, but I never dreamed that I'd ever see it. Like, if there was one thing about March Madness, it was that, hey, always, always, always put the one seed in, because that's just a guarantee.
That's why this
the easiest
is
part of the bracket.
Easily.
That's the one.
That's why this is the greatest sporting event, though, because Arkansas State, if they played Alabama 200 times, Alabama would win 201. Like, that's just, I mean, there's no way that in football, or even if you go the Browns against the Patriots, they're not ever going to beat them in any playoff series. They're never going to beat them in the Super Bowl. This is a sporting event that gives chances to teams like that, to where a 1 can beat a 16, or a 2 can beat a 15, or Arizona can get beat in the first round, or North Carolina can get blown out by Texas A&M, a team that barely made it to the NCAA tournament. And in fact, if Texas A&M wouldn't have been ranked so high preseason, they wouldn't have made it at all. But back to, this is the greatest sporting event because anything can happen at any time. And that is just also why you're just so disappointed that the Hawks got out in the first round. Because I believe if you can win that, if you can win your first round game in the NCAA tournament, like, every year there are going to be 10 teams that don't do what they're supposed to do. There are going to be 10 teams that you're looking at and you're like, man, Arkansas is not better than this team. Arkansas is not better than that team. But in the NCAA tournament, you only have to be better than a team for about 25 minutes. If you can be the better team for about 25 minutes, that's a little over half a game. If you can get you a nice little lead and hang on to that, you can continue to survive and advance. And it's just so disappointing that you could not get out of the first round, because this tournament is showing us at the end of the tournament, who is going to be left? Everybody's
Kentucky
just
Kentucky and Duke. I mean,
yep.
Right.
Pretty much.
But I
just almost marked that down. If you were filling out a new bracket starting with a Sweet 16, it's not going to be the Cinderellas that make it to the Final Four. It's still not going to be the Blue Bloods.
But you would not have to go through any of those Blue Bloods to get to an Elite Eight. Once again, you're telling me that all you would have to do was beat Butler, Purdue without their best player, and Texas Tech, and you'd be advancing into the Elite Eight? Come on. I mean, this was the perfect opportunity. Yeah. Tommy had the tweet of the year. And I told him yesterday, I said, man, I wish you could say that word on the air, because he had the tweet of the year when he said, you have your best chance to make it to the Sweet 16 in 20 years and you wet the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just didn't use wet. But,
right.
But, and you wet the bed. And that's the most frustrating thing today, is that everybody thought you have two senior guards, you have Daniel Gafford, and those guys just have to play better. And now there are going to be people that put it on Mike. I'm not saying it is his fault. I'm not saying it isn't his fault. But he did the same thing in that game that he did whenever they beat Auburn, that he did when they beat Tennessee, that he did whenever they got to the seed that they got to, when they got to back-to-back NCAA tournament. He did this same exact thing throughout. So to think that, you know, it was going to change all of a sudden for one game, this is, I mean, you have to have guys that make shots. You have to have guys that can go get you a stop. And in the Butler game, Arkansas didn't do that.
What happened in the first 10 minutes? Why was it 21-2 to start the game? What was going on there that set the tone for this game that Arkansas recovered from that, but they spent all their energy recovering from that?
Right. There are a few major flaws in this basketball team. They haven't been able to guard the ball for years now, it seems like. And they're going to give up threes in the rebounding. And normally, though, it's just a couple of those things. Like, they're not guarding the ball well, but the other team's not going to shoot well from the outside. Or the other team is shooting well from the outside, but they can't beat Arkansas off the bounce. Or they're beating Arkansas off the bounce, they're shooting okay, but when they're missing, Arkansas is getting the rebound. All three of those things working against Arkansas. Butler was hitting threes, they're beating Arkansas off the bounce, and they were getting all the rebounds. And that's another thing. I mean, Butler came into the game as it wasn't like they're putting 2 7-footers out there and it's going to be difficult to rebound. They beat Arkansas on the backboard almost by 20. So it just is one of those games that throughout the year, and Jimmy Dykes brings up all the time, throughout the year you're going to have a couple of games to where you're just going to throw the tape away. You're going to have a couple of games to where you just play unreal, and everything else is going to be in between, and it's going to show your true team. Well, one of Arkansas's throwaway games came at the worst possible time of the year.
The worst possible time. Yeah. And I think the way that I guess it's more used in football, but they just got hit in the mouth in the very beginning.
And where, didn't respond.
Yeah, and where the things that you mentioned, the biggest weaknesses of this team, were exploited. I mean, and that's always been the thing that like I almost crack up when so many people are complaining about rebounding, rebounding, rebounding. Yes, you want to rebound. I get all that. But that's not the style. Like, even Nolan Richardson's teams weren't great rebounding teams. That's just not the way they play.
But 2 points? Two?
Two.
21-2?
Two.
Two?
A safety.
Whew.
Yeah, against Butler in the beginning of the game. And the fact that they came back showed you that, yeah, they got it together. But,
some of that's on, I'll grant you, some of that's on Mike, and you got to have the team ready to play right. And come out. But at some point, players have to play.
They do.
21-2? Come on. Hmm. I mean, at some point, you've got to take some pride in what you're doing and stop somebody. Number one, stop somebody. And number two, go score. You got control over that. Put the ball in the hole. It's what you're there to do.
There's a lot of plays, too, where I think it was during that 21-2 run to start the game where Trey Thompson and Anton Beard come out to double the man at the three-point line. He splits right in between them and goes in for the most wide-open dunk you'll ever see in your life.
Why Butler quit attacking the rim is still beyond me.
I think they thought the game was over. I think
it was.
And once they got up by 20, it's like, hey, well,
20-point rule.
And we're gonna pass the sticks. And we're gonna, you know, and after they got up by 20, I felt like at that time they were just extremely comfortable and guys were just out there like, hey, we're gonna put this thing in cruise control. And after we put it in cruise control, then we're going to be okay. And eventually they were because, just like Tommy stated, Arkansas used so much energy trying to come back that then when Butler then went on another run, Arkansas couldn't respond.
Yeah. And that's what did Arkansas – did Arkansas season in. Yeah, in the end. Hey, the Best Thoroughbred Racing back again this weekend at Oaklawn. Be sure and check it out at Oaklawn beginning this Saturday. That's when you can sign up and register for your chance to win a new boat and truck, all courtesy there at Oaklawn. Get all the details, and race fans can enjoy the action from the infield this weekend again as well. After the races, stop by Silk's Bar and Grill, which has more than 30 large screen TVs to keep up with all of the action. Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play and only minutes away. Be sure and get that Oaklawn Anywhere app online at oaklawnanywhere.com.
Pretty excited about this next segment, being able to catch up with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. So many things to get to with him, and I can't wait to get his thoughts and opinions, because I've never been able to interview Tom. This is going to be my first time to interview Tom, so we'll see if he brings the fire, which I'm sure he will, because he normally does, especially with all the stuff going on with basketball and baseball. We'll get to that and more on the other side.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush, brought to you by Crabtree.